Moneyline with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside to the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Palm, our VP of operations here at the Circa Resort and Casino. Mike Pritchard, our VSiN NFL analyst, played nearly a decade in the National Football League, former first-round pick of the Atlanta Falcons, and also a national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes in the early 90s. Gentlemen, how we doing? Hell of a weekend that we have on deck here for the football. I mean, we got obviously what happened last night.
Yeah.
We got conference title games coming up tonight. We have obviously championship Saturday tomorrow. Then, of course, a Sunday slate in the National Football League. Exciting times.
Vikings in town. We have Derek Stevens running in the Great Santa Run tomorrow morning.
Okay, it's gonna, nice.
Oh, is he?
I want him to post a price. Will he finish?
Is that a 5K? But
he's doing the 1K. It's a 1K and a 5K. Mm-hmm. So there's the serious and those that are having a good time. But it's one of the best weekends, and specifically in Las Vegas, maybe the best weekend of the year. Right?
Absolutely. We look forward to this one. Got the Pac-12 Championship, the Mountain West Conference Championship as well, some tournaments. The calendar's heating up in terms of sports in Las Vegas. But Femi's in another gear. Did you feel that a little bit, Mike? You know, the intro right
there.
He's charged up, and I know why.
I just listened for national
champion. I know why.
That's all I listen for, and then I practiced my reaction.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, you just shrug?
Because if I shrug, you know, that peripheral vision you have as a wide receiver is pretty strong.
It's pretty good, though, that he's amped up right now. I know
the Cowboys came back. I said yesterday with Tim Murray, I said he's going to be so difficult to deal with. If they lose this game at home tomorrow, he'll be a bear for 2 hours.
Not only that, but Bo Nix.
It's over.
All I got to do is say Bo, and this guy's going to light up.
Some might say it's Bo Nix Friday. Some might say.
Where's the party at? That's all I want
to
know.
I mean, so the plan for tonight is to watch the game at home because it's obviously going to be a high leverage situation with the Oregon-Washington game. But we'll get into all of that coming up, because I want to ask you guys about how we can kind of monetize this tonight here.
I hope you have a lot of liquidity for your monetization, because every Heisman voter I talked to said it's not a race.
Well, I mean,
all say it's Daniels, and it's not close.
Really?
Yeah. I think the loudest voices right now are saying Daniels. Okay. My suspicion,
these are voters. I mean,
my suspicion is that we have a silent majority. That after tonight, the tune might change.
Here's the one thing I will say: if you're ready to monetize, wait till tonight, because the chances he has a bad game are very low. But he's going to move in the market, and you have to know books will keep this open, right? They're going to keep this open through these games. You'll get a better price on Daniels after tonight than
100%.
You can today. And I think
as long as Oregon wins, of course. Yeah.
Well, even if they lose and he plays very well. Well, if the criteria is winning, then Daniels shouldn't be considered.
I think if there's only one game that's difference between them and the win-loss record, I think then maybe that kind of with the win-loss record. But we'll get into that.
There's many layers.
There's a lot of layers.
A lot of layers.
Right? I know. That's why I'm fired up. I mean, we got that going on. Obviously, we have the scenarios. Bama, Georgia. I mean, what happens if Alabama were to pull off the upset? Mm-hmm. What happens in the ACC title game? There's a lot going on in college football.
Stormy told me yesterday with great conviction that Alabama controls their own destiny. That there's no way they'd. I said, she said, you're going to go back and talk about a week two game? That week two game means something? And I mean, well, doesn't it? Don't they all mean something?
Well, people are knocking Texas because of the OU loss, though. I mean, are you going to go all the way back to the OU loss for Texas? I mean, how do you say Texas beat Alabama at home, but yet Alabama should leapfrog if Texas should win as well?
I find that here's a great statement. We could talk about this for 2 hours, but
we could.
Kirk Herbstreit.
We only have 2 hours.
Kirk Herbstreit made this statement. I heard it yesterday, and I wanted to get your guys' opinion. Mm-hmm. It would be a greater travesty for Texas to get in ahead of Alabama than for the committee to leave out an undefeated Florida State.
That's stupid.
What?
That's stupid.
You think the greater travesty would be to leave out Florida State?
I do.
Yeah, in that scenario, absolutely. I mean, an undefeated Florida State, too? I mean, absolutely.
They might be on their third-string quarterback tomorrow.
Well, I don't care. 13-0 is 13-0.
Right.
I mean, a Power 5 conference?
I agree with both of you.
Because we won a national championship without Darren Hagan, though.
Yeah.
So it doesn't diminish you. I mean, we had a quality backup. You know, if Florida State has a quality backup and they're that good of a football team, it shouldn't matter.
Let's table this, because right. We can go so long with this. I want to set the table for what we do have coming up on the show. Second hour, 11:30 West Coast time, 2:30 Eastern. Michael Felder, college football analyst, will be joining us to break down all of these scenarios. As you can tell, we're fired up for college football.
He's in for it.
I might need Felder to stick around for two segments, not just one segment. But we got to go ahead and react to what we saw last night, Thursday night football. Both teams were on 7 days rest, so we actually got an entertaining Thursday night game. Imagine that, NFL. Yeah. Imagine that one. But the Cowboys beat the Seahawks 41-35. Seattle covers the number. Wasn't even close from a side standpoint. Seattle was in the number the entire game there. And then a game flies way over the total of 47.5. What were your guys' kind of thoughts last night? Dak Prescott had a really good game. Geno Smith, I thought, played probably the best game maybe of his career last night there with 334 yards. DK Metcalf, obviously a big game as well, but the Cowboys improved to 9-3.
This LaRon Bland wants to pick the ball off every time. That's going to be a problem.
Yeah. Every play.
That's going to be a problem in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because you can't give up these 75-yard touchdown pass. In the NFL, you have to make teams march on 10 and 12 play drives.
Right.
Hope they won't turn it over. Hope they won't get a holding penalty to back them up. Right. That's the name of the game in the NFL.
Yeah.
You're not just going to bury teams and drive them backwards every possession.
No, not at all.
You have to make them be perfect going down the field. So it's a little bit too boom or bust for me with the Dallas. I thought Dak played very well. I was not impressed with Dak on Thanksgiving. I thought he was inaccurate. I didn't think it was one of his better games. Played much better last night. This was the fifth game in NFL history that did not feature a punt.
Yeah.
Only the fifth time in NFL history there was a
beautiful
game without a punt.
It
was really beautiful. It was a great game.
It was a great game. Yeah.
It was. I mean, there's so many takeaways from it because I think if you like to back the Cowboys, you feel really good about the offense. You feel really good about McCarthy calling plays and setting up plays for Dak. I mean, setting up Ferguson in a red zone against Jamal Adams when Adams can't cover, you know, that's taking advantage of your personnel. And that's also scheming it a little bit. Eight trips into the red zone, you mentioned no punts. Eight trips into the red zone is incredible, right, to think about. So, but on the other side, you're right. There's some tendency flaws, I think, from Dallas that when they play elite offenses, because Seattle has been struggling a little bit offensively, but then Geno put together a game. Like, say the profile of a game or another game for Dallas is they have three outstanding wide receivers, kind of like what Seattle had, can protect the passer as well. Or if they're physical, that Dallas defense, there's some flaws out there. So you feel you don't feel as confident about that. But the name of the game to me offensively is scoring points. And if Dallas can average or put up that many points, and if they can get home field advantage, then you feel really good about Dallas down the stretch here.
There's a look ahead to next week. This number is sitting at around 3.5 as Dallas favored at home to Philadelphia.
Right.
What's your initial reaction to that?
Well, like I said, at home, Dallas is a different team. I mean, offensively, Dak, the way he's playing this game, the way he's throwing the ball, I think the sidelines too. You got familiarity there on both sides, really. I just think these games that Philly is going through, this gauntlet that they're going through, it's just going to wear them down. I mean, trying to get up for each and every game, it's like a playoff stretch for them already because they're fighting for home field advantage too. And so last week they got up for that one against Buffalo. Okay, they got to get up for this one against 49ers. And then now you got to go up against a Cowboys team that feels really, really confident
and
right
before
now.
Before Buffalo was Monday night in Kansas City.
Yep. I mean, and it's that, just, that too, it's right, just, right.
The thing for Philly this week is if they can beat San Francisco, if somehow they can beat it, they really lock up the one and the East.
Yeah.
And they have a weak schedule after Dallas, right? And they can get rested, this older team. They can pretty much get right for the playoffs.
Exactly.
But they lose, and I laid 2.5 earlier in the week with San Francisco because I like them a lot.
Yeah.
Then it becomes interesting. The East becomes in play with them having to go to Dallas next week.
The one seed.
The one seed becomes in play. Dallas somehow got the one? I mean, I don't know how they overcome because they lost straight up to the 49ers, right? So
And the Cowboys close very difficult as well. It's like you have the Eagle game next week, Buffalo, Miami, then Detroit coming to town. Like, that's a pretty tough four-game stretch there. In terms of offensively, though, Pritch, I especially want to get your take on this. Like, a lot of the conversation leading into the season with Dallas was like, hey, like, what are we going to expect from Mike McCarthy's offense now that Kellen Moore is down in L.A.
Right.
and he's with the Chargers? Like, can we trust McCarthy? From what you've seen, it feels like to me, as an outsider who had never played the NFL, like Dak and McCarthy are like on the same page, almost sharing the same mind. Is that what you see when
Absolutely.
You watch this Cowboys
Yeah,
offense?
I mean, Dak understands it's all about his footwork now in a pocket with this West Coast style offense. And his footwork is going to tell him where to go with the football or help him with progression, if you will. But I think it's another level now because last night we saw McCarthy take advantage of matchups, individual matchups, and they have that. I said this a while ago to you, Femi, about Dallas needed one more playmaker. And so who was it going to be? And Ferguson's arrived.
I love him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, is it Taupin or?
Turpin.
Turpin, yeah, he's the guy who's capable of making the plays. Gallup is forgotten about now.
Yeah.
I don't even think they even target that guy. But then they're going to feature CD and then Brandon
He was
Cooks.
A possession receiver last night.
He was, right, yeah. Right, I mean, right. He should have caught another touchdown,
yeah.
though.
Yeah.
Put that
right
thing
through his hands.
In the window. He put that thing through a window.
Because when he had that one, there was the deep ball where they called like the phantom pass interference.
Yeah. Right.
Where it's like, okay, that went through your arms.
Yeah.
The TD pass. I'm like, what are we doing, CD?
Right, right.
And he's been awesome this year, but I don't know what the hell was going on last night.
No, Dak is so confident. And he's in tune with McCarthy. He said this during the post-game comments, which I always like to listen to those because you kind of get some feelers from this quarterback or from players. He talked about these meetings that I'm having with McCarthy. I know exactly why he's calling it. I know when he's going to call, whatever he's going to call. And it's like it's Dak's game plan. It's like he has input. And for a quarterback like that, if you have input, that's going to give you more confidence as well.
I thought what I liked out of Dallas last night was they ran the ball 26 times,
mm-hmm.
and they played the majority of the game from behind.
Right.
Yeah.
But he didn't give up on the run, where Carroll tends to, once they get behind, completely abandon the running game. Yeah. He just starts passing.
Great point.
But I liked that they stayed balanced the whole game.
Yep, and that's been their mantra all year, to stay kind of balanced. Look, if you look at play selection, the top teams are closer to 50-50 in terms of play selection, when the average in play selection in National Football League is typically 60-40 pass-run ratio. But 50-50 is getting it done this year.
Real quick before we head to break, the Seahawks, they have the Niners coming up, and then they host the Eagles. Seahawks playoff, are they done?
I think the two teams in the North, the Packers and the Vikings, have a much better shot at the wild card.
Yeah. Seattle was a desperate team last night. You can see, by the way, their plan just came up a little bit short. All right, on the other side, we will get to the college football slate beginning tonight, Oregon and Washington.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Juice Reel is a free betting intelligence app and a tool that every bettor needs. What it's going to do for you, it's going to link all your betting accounts into one app, and it delivers in-depth analytics on your betting history. Juice Reel has also developed an artificial intelligence bot using the data from all Juice Reel bets. Robo Jackson is picking winners at a rate of 60% through more than 100 games. Robo, I need them winners, buddy. Find out for yourself. Download Juice Reel. Juice like orange juice and real. R-E-E-L. Download the free app in the App Store or Google Play Store. It's free. Juice Reel. Juice. R-E-E-L. Boy, Robo Jackson on the heater. This is the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings, coming to you from the Circa Resort and Casino. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard here, going triple option on a Football Friday. And the Football Friday this week, fantastic.
Yeah.
Pac-12 title game here in Las Vegas later tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific, and is between Oregon and Washington. What a game these two teams played back in October in Seattle. Comes down to the final kick there, Oregon missing the field goal, which would have forced overtime, Washington winning the game there. But quite the difference that we have in the market this go-around, as the Ducks are now 9-point favorites, total 65.5 here. Is this a little bit too much love for Oregon here, or is it just enough based on how Washington kind of played the second half of the season?
Well, Washington's played, 9 straight one-score games? And if that holds true, you would take the points in this situation. It's a bridge too far, 9. You could have bet the look-aheads on this game anywhere from 4 to 6 and a half all throughout the course of the year, and now it's 9. I'm not interested in 9. I'm interested in watching this game and just enjoying two really good football teams playing at a high level.
Yeah, absolutely.
You'll be there to witness it in person.
Yeah,
your long history, your long association with the Pac-12
well, it's not that long.
Has really earned you this right, Pritch.
It's just legendary, Mike. It's legendary, Mike. It's not long. It's legendary.
Legendary.
Yeah, you'll learn that soon.
Pac-12 sports person of the year.
That's right.
Wait a minute. I want to get to that later.
We're going to get to that later.
I wore this from. Okay. We've come a long way from Arthur Ashe to Coach Prime. I have a whole treatise on this later in the show.
You know what?
This
game is interesting because the last time Oregon was down here, Cristobal was getting hired to Miami. Thibodeau didn't want to play Oregon. Yeah. They didn't travel well for that game. What was sneaky about this, and I don't know, Fem, you've been in Vegas a while now, but there's a lot of Seattle people here in Vegas. I've been part of the Seahawkers Club and doing some stuff around town for years. And, you know, the Pacific Northwest, in terms of Seattle, I wonder if Husky fans are going to turn out. I think they will.
Yeah.
Oregon, I think they'll travel for this situation, right?
Oregon has a good Hawaiian fan base, which I think factors it a bit here in Las Vegas, right?
Right.
So of that connection.
That stadium is going to be wild, though.
It'll be electric. Yeah,
absolutely. So just setting the stage that way. But, I mean, rematches. Look, I think if you've lost a game, and I've experienced this, if you lost a game and you're the better team, okay, we got to correct what we did wrong. We're better than them. We're going
to. Wait a minute. If you're the better team.
Oh,
are you talking about the two Orange Bowls?
Oh, yeah. Oh, see, how did he went to Notre Dame. I could have been talking about Nebraska.
Shut out in the second half.
I could have been talking about Nebraska.
You were never better than Nebraska.
It always goes back to the Orange Bowl.
Halftime, Femi. 40 minutes.
I just struck a nerve, though. I knew I was going to do that, too. But no, I think if you are the better team, if you're playing that team the second time around, you're going to be more confident. Certainly, you just got to eliminate mistakes. You're going to win the game. Now, Washington. A great point about what you guys said. Should they have won that first game? Probably not at home. But I think from a program standpoint and how it's been built by this coaching staff and how confident they are, how Penix is playing well, I like what you were saying earlier about the points. I think it's too wide here. I think this is going to be a closer game. If it's a track meet, it certainly is going to be a closer game than the spread indicates there.
I don't think Washington is physical enough to push them around.
Right.
Right?
No, this is SEC
team. This is a team built like an SEC. So
with SEC expectations, too.
Yeah.
The culture there in Oregon.
I mean, if this game was, you know, 38-35, I wouldn't be surprised. I think it's a one-score game deep into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, could Oregon win by 10? Yeah, maybe. Right?
Because Washington's going to have to lean on their strength, which is throwing the football, right? And just to stay up or to feel like they need to stay in the game against Oregon, Oregon's scoring.
Do you think Penix is hurt? I've heard a lot of people say, based on watching him play the last month, there's something not right with him.
Well, there's something not right with a lot of guys. I mean, everybody's banged up. Somebody's got something. I think in a game like this, you get help. You know, I don't know about the college ranks, but I know if this was professional football, you wouldn't be worried about certain injuries and stuff like that. But if he's hurt, everybody's hurt, though. So you got to factor it in. It's not going to take him out of the game unless he gets knocked out of the game, though.
I mean, it can kind of point back to the last time these two teams played. That was the first time we saw Penix look a little bit like uncomfortable and like wincing a little bit. And it's been ever since that game. But I guess my question to you, especially Mike Palm, like you mentioned that you see this being potentially 38-35. Yeah. What's stopping you from taking the points?
That I think that Oregon's the better team. I mean, if you look at all the common opponents, obviously their results are better, right? And I feel that, like, this team has been on a mission since they lost that game, taking no prisoners. I think that if they're up 10 late, I think he's going to keep throwing the ball because Nix is there. Listen, Oregon campaigns for their Heisman candidates as well as anybody, right?
Well, not as well as LSU this
think,
year.
Well, I mean, that's ridiculous. Yeah, they campaigned by having their defense give up touchdown drives there. So he has three more possessions every game than anybody else.
Ridiculous.
But anyhow, I wonder if Dan Lanning will be more conservative tonight. Knowing that he could have won the game on the road had he just taken points in the first game,
right.
Will he be more conservative when he has to make those decisions?
Or is it
just his nature?
Well, I don't know how you get conservative in a championship game, though.
Like, but do you take a field goal on fourth and goal from the four? Because these teams go on from the two. You got Aikman saying, well, the analytics say anything six inside the six, you go on fourth down at the goal. What?
I think you feel the room. I think you feel the game. I think certainly if your offense, if Oregon's offense is in gear, and high octane, then absolutely you go for those situations. You gauge that, though, right? The thing about Oregon's offense is it's an easier offense than Washington will have in terms of executing. Like, Oregon can run it, they can short pass you, they can screen you, they can throw it deep. I mean, they have an easier path, whereas Washington, they're not going to really run the ball down Oregon's throat. I mean, they're not physical enough that way, and I don't think they're consistent. And if Oregon has a sound game plan to slow down the passing attack, then that's when things get difficult for Penix.
Yeah. I'm concerned about Washington's defense in this game. Because, like, even last week in the Apple Cup, like, I know Washington State only put up 21 points, but, boy, there were some plays out there to be made for Washington State in that game. And even for Oregon State, there was a lot of plays out there to be made. Like, Washington, the pass rush, sometimes it gets there. They got a couple good pass rushers there, Braylon Trice and Zion Tupeloa-Fatui. Like, they have some good guys, but the secondary has been suspect for Washington. And if Oregon's able to protect, I mean, Bo Nix, he's been able to have a clean pocket for much of this season, and he's just finding those playmakers, and those guys are awesome after the catch.
Yes,
to where,
they are.
Like, it's, I don't know. I don't know how the Huskies thought. Like, if anything, maybe look at Oregon team total over in this game. I'm taking a look right now. I'm seeing some like 38.5, 37.5 around there. But are you confident that Washington can get stops?
No. This becomes about pace of game, too.
Yeah, that's also
And if
fair.
Oregon's running the ball,
right.
They're going to eat time off the clock. You do, Pritch is right. You're not going to have to worry about it. The only time Washington tried to run the ball was when they knew USC was so bad defensively.
Yeah, right.
Why
right.
risk throwing it?
It's the only game they ran the ball.
It off.
Yep, yep, yep.
It's the only game they ran the football all year.
Yeah. Bo Nix is what, 3,900 passing yards. Maybe 800 of those are air yards. I mean, right after the catch.
A lot of screens.
A lot of quick games.
Yep. Exactly. So, I mean, the game becomes easier that way for a quarterback and efficient as well. You know, you're not prone to make a lot of mistakes when you can execute a game plan that way.
If you guys were sitting in my position as a card-carrying member of the Bodacious Heisman campaign.
Well, Pritch and I are maybe two of the only five guys that don't have Bo Nix at 100-1 at this network. It's amazing.
I never saw 100.
But this
was the show.
But
yeah.
I mean, at 20-1, plus the whole – I mean, it was like Glenn Mead sent an email. You must go back Bo Nix.
Company policy.
Yeah.
This was the show that at VEASAN, that we were groundbreakers here at VEASAN. Like, when I came out in September and said, hey, Bo Nix, better before Colorado. Would you then take Washington to try to middle this thing there, or do you think there's some blowout potential?
No, I don't, because I think you can lose both ways. I think you have to straight hedge this with Daniels, and hopefully you get a price at better than 2-1. Nix has a good game tonight, and you can name how much you want to win.
I have some Daniels. I mean, before they played Ole Miss,
at what price?
30-1.
But much less than what the Nix ticket would pay.
Yeah, much less. Yeah,
and Nix was always your conviction.
I have been betting Bo Nix multiple weeks. Yeah. So this is like a big deal for me tonight, to where it's like, okay, like I would love for Daniels would make some money, but it's nothing to like write home about. Nix, we might write home about that one. We might write
home. There's gonna be a party somewhere.
Hey, you know what? We're gonna be
big wedding. It's gonna be a big wedding.
Might add a chandelier.
A bigger way.
We'll talk about the other Power 5 conference title games on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSIN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSIN.com/picks page, sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSIN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSIN expert has the hot hand. For VSIN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSIN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSIN.com/subscribe. It is a football Friday here on the Lombardi Line, hanging out at the Circa Resort and Casino. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard here on the DraftKings Network, rather presented by DraftKings, I should say. We'll be on the DraftKings Network in hour number two, so make sure you check us out there. But this is conference championship weekend. Tonight, the Pac-12 game, which we broke down in depth. We all assume that quarterfinal game tonight, right? Like, this is a win and in to the playoff scenario. Like, there's no scenario that we think that Oregon would get left out.
There's a scenario they could both get in.
Oh.
I believe.
Okay.
You think a
one-loss Washington would get?
Yeah. What if Texas loses? If Florida State loses?
If Alabama loses
and Georgia? I think there's that scenario. Do you put Ohio State in over Washington?
I think they might.
Okay, but at least Washington has a shot.
Yeah.
If those things happen,
yeah.
I don't think Texas is losing.
OH.
But I think Texas can name their score tomorrow morning, but
yeah,
but
we'll get into whatever. That here in just a little bit. But we actually do have a fun tweet that was put up there. Who was it? Chris Vanini that tweeted this out there about the awkwardness of conference championship weekend due to the conference realignment. And this is the tweet. It says, "Very real shot at a bunch of awkward Power 5 championship trophy presentations next week." He tweeted this out obviously last week. Big Ten, we have Tony Petitti handing the Big Ten trophy to Jim Harbaugh, who they suspended for 3 Saturdays. You got the Big 12 to potentially handing it to a departing Texas who's going to the SEC. Obviously, tonight, Oregon and Washington bolting for the Big Ten. One of those teams will get the trophy. Then the ACC, Florida State, who wants to leave the conference, reportedly, they might go ahead and win the conference title as they're a short favorite against Louisville. So how about conference realignment making for one last awkward conference championship weekend?
Which one is the most awkward in your opinion?
But Petitti Harbaugh.
I disagree. I disagree that
there's another one.
No, I don't think any of them are awkward.
Okay.
And none of them are awkward compared to Rozelle handing the trophy to Al Davis. I mean, let's put it in that light. But Petitti, I will argue that Petitti giving Harbaugh the 3 Saturday suspension helped Michigan and Harbaugh more than anything. I think it preempts the NCAA from maybe later action.
It does.
I think it all worked out for Michigan.
Right.
This whole thing all worked out. So I don't think it's awkward. Now, the timing of it while they were in the plane and leaking it and all that, The Texas, I mean, Yorkman put his foot in his mouth and said he'd be pulling against Texas this year. I'm sure he's backed that down and talked to Texas. And, you know, everybody in the Pac-12 left. So, I mean, it's not just – and Florida State, I don't think the ACC has any great allegiance to Florida State to begin with. They were a Metro Conference school back when you were young. Remember, that was a good basketball. Yeah. Metro Conference, Louisville, Memphis State, Florida State. They were a latecomer to the ACC. So maybe the Texas one, because it was just them in Oklahoma that kind of turned their nose on the conference. But I don't think Petitti Harbaugh is bad at all.
Considering my legendary status on the football council for the Pac-12, though. just had to throw that out.
Love it. Love it.
Do you have hard feelings for these two schools?
Yeah, I mean, the Pac-12's gone.
And the other 10 schools.
The Pac-12's gone, though. I mean, think about it. I mean, the Big Ten, the Big Ten's getting better, right? I mean, Harbaugh, that thing.
Do you blame those schools?
No, if you're George Kliakoff, the commissioner, like you tried to put together a TV deal, Apple TV, it didn't. Nope, that wasn't going to happen. So.
I sat next to him at F1 at the race. Man, I said, "Are you handing out resumes, George?"
He's a great guy, though. He's a great guy.
He can go back to MGM or wherever he wants to go.
I feel bad for it. But the thing is, a year ago this time, we at the council, we were talking about the growth of the Pac-12, though, and the footprint of the Pac-12 and how it's improving and how spectacular this season could be for the Pac-12, right? That was a year ago sitting on this council. Now it's gone. And so what do you do? I mean, you're going to hand that trophy to two teams. Now, SC's not here, and SC kind of spearheaded everything. Yeah. But
along with UCLA, we'll put them in there as well.
Sure. Yeah. Mike Bone, by the way. But anyway, I think that's going to be the most awkward, though, right, when you're thinking about your conference is now the Conference of Champions is now gone.
But everything will come full circle when you will be on the Big 12. Committee now. You will be back where you belong.
Yep, Big
there
8, Big 12 kind of thing.
Big 8.
True legendary sets.
It's the last chance to dance for the Pac-12 tonight, so it'll be kind of the swan song.
It is.
As somebody who grew up in Seattle in that area, it is sad. Right.
Stormy is so upset. I mean, she's...
It's a little bit of a
bummer. She also worked with the conference a lot.
It's a bummer, but I mean, I guess maybe it means for better times ahead for the Washington Athletic Program. Who knows? We'll see what this all unfolds. It's also last chance to dance for Texas in the Big 12. They are a 15-point favorite against Oklahoma State, total 55. Oklahoma State looked a little shaky last week.
Kalani Sitake did whatever they wanted in the first half, and they went into a shell and said, "We don't need to score anymore. I think we'll win this game." I mean, they dominated the first half of that game.
For a second, I thought we were going to get a Sooners-Longhorns rematch.
I can't get over and the Central Florida game with Oklahoma State. I don't know how they're competitive in this spot. It's Texas probably needs style points. They know that the committee is inclined to have to put an SEC team in. And if Alabama wins, how are they going to get in? I think they can name their score here. I laid it with Texas.
And this is before the SEC and all that kicks off. Yeah. So Texas is going to be like,
They know that.
Well, again, if you go back to a mindset, if you go back to expectations, I mean, you got Sark, and he fully knows and understands what you just said, Mike, about the style points or trying to impress the committee. And he actually alluded to that in terms of some recent comments that let's play this game and then let's see how everything shakes out. So I think Texas is looking to beat down Oklahoma State big time.
Do you think so? Texas right now, their odds to make the playoffs plus 155 to miss minus 190. I guess what permutation do you think has to happen for Texas to feel comfortable when they wake up Sunday morning when the selection committee unveils the final four teams?
Georgia and Louisville have to win for them to feel comfortable. Yeah. Georgia and Louisville win, they're in with the win.
Yeah.
Because Georgia knocks out Bama. Louisville will knock out Florida State. Because the committee's never going to take the one loss Florida State.
No, they would never. That gives them the excuse to leave them out.
They won't even get a New Year's Bowl game.
I mean, they won't.
And they'll
be going to drop to like 16.
How is Tennessee still in the top? Do they keep them in, so that's another top 25 win for those two.
Exactly. They can push up Bama and Georgia. It's all window dressing.
Yeah, it's all resume thing.
Which makes it so ridiculous.
Because the element of the vote is still there. That's why you have to have this resume. You know, how did you look against this team? That kind of thing. I mean, I went through that. I lived through that, right, as a college football player. And, you know, it's really asinine to think about it now, compared to how many advancements, and certainly looking forward to the expansion of playoff, which everybody cannot wait for. Get rid of this process that we're going through right now with four teams.
But because when you go to 12, they're going to say somebody that finished 13th really should have been the national champion, right? There'll be arguments all around 12, but that's okay. Maybe. That's fun.
Yeah, but those arguments
Dickie
are
B's always arguing for somebody on the bubble. So somebody's going to be arguing for team 12, 14, 15. I mean, got to create content somehow.
Right. And that's okay. You can create content with 13, 14, and 15, right? You can do that.
Do you guys have any concerns about it diminishing the regular season? Because I know that's what a lot of college football purists think. Mm-mm.
No.
Yeah, see, I agree with you guys. Yeah.
Everybody's still trying to win their conference. Yeah, exactly. That's the most important thing for every school.
Seeding, hosting a playoff game, all kinds of money, aspirations, all kinds of things.
And we get a ton of great games at the end of the year, which I think is like the big win for all of us as bettors and just lovers of the sport, I think would be a lot of fun.
You had to rely on the pollsters.
We did.
You had to rely on votes, right?
Absolutely.
You split national champions.
It wasn't split. We won three out of three.
But you had. I mean, 97, Nebraska, Michigan.
Right.
Those teams never got to play each other, right?
We would love to have played Georgia Tech. Believe me, we'd have loved to play Georgia Tech.
We were rooting for Nebraska that day. Well, they didn't put up that much of a fight.
Half their team was suspended that day. That's why. And then Osborne, the deciding vote in the coaches' poll. Can you believe that?
I mean.
At the time.
Can you believe that?
Well, he should be.
What a ridiculous time in the sport that was.
Oh, my goodness. It was. The UPI existed back then. So you had the AP and the UPI.
Jeez. Presidents got involved in who should be the next. Nixon declaring who.
Seems healthy. Yeah. Well, we're going to go in this direction. We'll obviously carry this conversation on to the next segment as well, but I want to start it here. The SEC title game is the biggest one on Saturday's slate. Georgia, Alabama, obviously the Tide fighting for their lives to try to remain in the CFP discussion. Georgia, the number one ranked team in the country, the two-time defending national champions, 5.5-point favorites, total 55. But there seems to be a little bit of interest on the Tide here. People took six. Some people took some 5.5s here. Do you guys see this being a good spot to back Alabama? I know they're coming off the shaky performance last week against Auburn in the Iron Bowl.
This is my biggest bet of the weekend, over 54.5.
Okay.
I think both these teams can score.
Yeah.
I bet this game under last year. Had no shot. And both defenses, I think, are worse than they were last year. Georgia lost so many people to the pros the last few years. Alabama has shown some warts throughout the course of the year. They got a new lease on life, which makes me not want to lay the points with Georgia. Because Alabama was touched by God that they rushed two, you know.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if they rush five there, he's going to run the ball and try to run to the end zone. You know, that's his move. That's still going to be his move.
Georgia loses, they're still in. So there's that, right?
Ooh.
You think?
What?
Yeah, wow. You guys don't think so?
I'm not so sure about that.
This is what I found most interesting, though. Carson Beck, who's on a roll right now, right? Yeah. 22 touchdowns, 6 INTs. Milroe, 21 touchdowns, 6 INTs. Right. I mean, Milroe's on a roll, too, right?
Yeah. Since he got benched, he's been terrific.
He's been really good.
So, I think this game could be very, very interesting.
I think it's
Georgia's
a track.
Not in it.
We will discuss
what's their
that
win?
Coming
they beat
up.
Missouri? Their best win is Missouri at home.
Defending national champions.
It's LSU's Missouri Tigers.
What does that have to do with it?
There's a committee out there.
Well, we'll answer the question of who has the better quarterback. We'll answer some other questions as well with the other conference title games coming up next.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSIN, the crown, is yours. The fun show we got going on here on this Football Friday. This is the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard here. And we were discussing last segment about the SEC title game. And Pritch, you are under the belief that Georgia, regardless of result, is in the CFP.
No, you're not. You're playing the devil's advocate. The devil's abacus. He's telling us 2-2 make 5.
Because we didn't get much chaos, I actually think Georgia is in an elimination game as well.
Really?
But I think they are.
Their resume is not strong enough to
resume's
me.
Resume is not that strong, even though they are the two-time defending national champions.
Are they doing this on a three-year resume?
Hold up. So you're claiming that Ohio State would get in?
I don't think I think if Michigan takes care of business, if whoever out of the Pac-12 takes care of business, right. You get Texas winning. I mean, Florida State, if they were to win, are they going to leave out a 13-0?
So Texas would go in.
I think Texas would go ahead of Georgia.
Whew.
I think they would. Georgia would be a 12-1 non-conference champion, and right. Texas would be a 12-1 conference champion.
Texas would have beaten Alabama.
And they beat Georgia
Alabama.
Didn't do.
Exactly. And Alabama. Right.
And Georgia would have to do it at
neutral. That's Atlanta, Georgia.
But how many people would hold back? And I've already heard it, the OU loss.
You're acting like
I'm just saying. I know they lost to an inferior team, though. That's the claim from the committee. Like you
still
can't
10-win team.
You can't have that on your resume.
It's also a game that went back and forth, and they lost right at the end. And it's in the Cotton Bowl, and it's the Red. You know what I mean?
So it's the way Georgia loses. Like if Georgia gets blown out, okay, maybe there's a case. Yeah, but if it's a field goal game, all of a sudden Alabama wins it that way.
I think Texas would have to sweat, but I think Texas would still get in.
So you're telling me both get in? That you're going to get two SEC teams if Alabama wins, or Alabama
Sorry, Bama.
What
congrats
are you trying to say here, Pritch?
I think if Alabama wins, I don't know if they get in, because if Texas wins, how are you going to have that argument that Alabama leapfrogs Texas? How is that going to happen?
I mean,
how do you have credibility?
I don't think you can do it, but I think the committee could definitely do
it. So we talked to, on primetime, we talked to Brett McMurphy on Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
And he said, if Florida State wins, 1,000% they're in. Stop this argument.
As it should be. Yep.
He said, but I'm not so sure that they wouldn't put Alabama in ahead of Texas if they beat Georgia. I've talked to several committee members who say, I'm not sure we can get out of here alive if there's not an SEC team in the Final Four.
I mean,
that's what he said, and he's as tuned in as anybody,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. He's locked in on that.
He's
stuff.
Locked in.
Therefore, Georgia's going to go in if they lose.
I mean, just like what?
They'll put them in because you can't put Alabama over Texas.
Right.
You put Georgia over Alabama.
That's just as idiotic, right?
Yeah,
I mean, think about it.
Well, I guess from the betting standpoint of this, because Georgia right now to miss the playoff is +360.
Mm.
Alabama on the money line, best price you can find is +190. I still think that if Georgia loses, they would not get in. I think if you like Bama to pull off the upset, you got to play some +360 on Georgia to miss. I think that's kind of a situation that you could do. Like, unless like all hell breaks loose. Yeah, if Michigan loses to Iowa, I'm sure Georgia can find some way to get to the playoff. But like that's – you're asking for a lot there. I think a very real scenario of Texas winning as a two-touchdown favorite, whoever wins the Pac-12, Michigan winning as a three-touchdown favorite – Seminoles, that's kind of the coin flip there, but if they're able to get this done, maybe Georgia does get left out.
Oh, you're talking about a potential three-peat. You're talking about a defending national champion. And
two-time defending.
Yeah, and they're going to leave them out? I mean,
they didn't do enough.
I don't know how you make that argument, though.
Because the SEC East is not that strong.
So you're going to say that the SEC...
They beat Ole Miss in Missouri.
You're going to bring to light something that has been true that the SEC doesn't want to admit, is that they are top-heavy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, they are top-heavy.
Two teams.
There's just two teams.
And everyone claims it.
So, well, but I'm
LSU
just saying,
throws their
there's no gauntlet. So right? There's no
next
resume.
Next time LSU will get a stop will be the first time.
So what would be Alabama's claim? That they beat the number one team? In a conference championship?
That's what people would say, is that...
Well, the claim is we're the SEC champion.
But you can't claim that if you diminish the SEC and the gauntlet and the status that Georgia's been in all year.
I don't know. I guess
Because you said they didn't really do anything. They didn't
do enough.
Well,
they did. They beat a lot of teams that were probably 20 to 30th in the country.
What I'll say about Georgia's schedule is that before the season started, we had a lot of people on here. I think Brad Powers was on as well, saying that, hey, should you just play Georgia over 11.5 wins because the schedule is cupcake soft.
Right.
And that's what we saw this year. No offense to LSU or Mizzou or our buddy Elliott's Mizzou Tigers, but like the schedule was weak for Georgia this year.
So should I put money on +360 for Georgia to miss the playoffs?
If you like Bama, I think you kind of like...
You've convinced yourself not to take that bet.
Why
don't you lay the 500? Because they're out. It's already happened. The sun's going to rise tomorrow. Lay $5. The sun's going to rise tomorrow. You're saying it's already.
No, I'm not going to lay that.
But
the bet would be the +360 right now.
Well, we're not trying to convince you to take that.
No, I'm not suggesting that. I guess what I'm saying is like, because I think Alabama can get with Georgia in this game, to be honest with you. It's going to be very, very interesting.
They can. Yeah. Will they? Well, are you taking 5?
No.
Okay. Yeah. You don't have a side. Don't you think it's going to be a high-scoring game?
You want it to be.
I really believe that.
Yeah.
Though.
I mean, these defenses are going to be interesting. Kirby, I mean, always comes up with something that throws off an offense. So, I mean, it might get there. I wouldn't bet it though. Okay. I'm not a total guy though.
That's true.
Well, I think the biggest pivot point of this whole weekend is probably in Charlotte with the ACC title game.
That's where it all starts and ends.
Florida State right now is a 1.5-point favorite. That keeps coming down from what we saw earlier this week. It was 6.5, 6. I mean, everyone's been betting Louisville all week, 47. There's talks about maybe Rodemaker's not going to play. It might be a concussion protocol. The backup quarterback, we might see a third-string quarterback for the Seminoles. Ah, man, that's such a short number. And Louisville, I get it. They've had a good season, but are they that good to where they should be going off as almost a pick?
It's hard because I can't get the second half at Pittsburgh out of my mind. They got played so poorly against a bad team. There was a flat spot last week for them with Kentucky. I thought Kentucky was a good play, right? Kentucky, it was a very meaningful game for them. They're already headed to the ACC champ. They can't go to the playoff. The game was just the game. There was nothing that was going to advance them to by winning that game other than the status of having won it. So I think Louisville's solid enough that if Florida State gets poor offensive play, they'll win the game. I mean, Florida had them down. That train wreck that is Billy Napier's Florida, right, had their foot on him for most of this game.
Here's another penalty. Yeah. I mean, this is an undisciplined team. That's ridiculous. Yeah.
I mean, this is hard because these are kids, and, you know, when you think about losing their leader, basically, and then, okay, if they're down to their third-string quarterback, preparation is one thing, but the moment is another, right? The pressure of the moment, no experience at all. What kind of game plan are you going to have? Can you be aggressive? I mean, are you going to have to be different? You know, we've seen coaches not trust certain players, key players, when it comes down to key moments. And that's in the National Football League. Now, in college, I think it's amplified. This game, I think the line is probably perfect. I think this is certainly indicative of a situation where Louisville could get that upset.
Do you share the criticism of Mike Norvell that he was even playing against North Alabama in that game?
the criticism, I don't know why you would criticize, though. What would you criticize? I mean, I don't.
Got to play.
Yeah, he's got to play. I don't get that. Like, I mean, what's the criticism? Like,
the criticism is why would you have your – in a game that you're going to win by 50 points, have your –
Well, they were losing at the time of the injury.
Yeah. I don't think you go into a game thinking, oh, yeah, we're going to beat that team by 50 points today. I mean, well, no, I lie.
21.
I lie.
28.
Because when we played Kansas State, we did. But Kansas State was god-awful.
Sorry, Little Apple.
Right, yeah. I mean – yeah, there is some times when you did say that, yeah. But, I mean, not
yeah,
towards
I get
especially
it.
After
I
quarterback
get
injury. That, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a bad luck situation for Florida State, and I'm sure, it could be a galvanizing thing, or it could be, hey, the third-string quarterback is just horrendous, and we just lose the game. But we will remind people, and we talked about it during the break, Ohio State, the first year of the playoff, was in this spot where they lost Braxton Miller early in the season. JT Barrett came out and played well. He gets hurt against Michigan. Then all of a sudden, here comes Cardale Jones. Nobody had seen him play. And they just lit up Wisconsin. 59-0, I believe, was the final en route to a national title. Nobody's comparing that team to this. But this can be a motivational factor to a team that everyone's saying, we don't want you in the playoff. They hear all that noise. They have to.
I don't know that with the starting quarterback that they were going to beat Georgia or Michigan or Oregon. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're on that. I don't just think. I think they're more of a a comp with Washington, right? Yeah. Then those, I think those top three are separated from the rest.
Yeah, absolutely.
I saw some look-aheads that had Oregon favored against Michigan.
I saw Georgia 2 against Oregon.
A lot of respect for the Ducks.
And Oregon 1.5 against Michigan. Well, I saw those.
If the respect is for the SEC, then Oregon's an SEC team. I mean, think about how they're built. Look at the depth. Look at the players, the type of athletes. Look at the style. Look at the mindset. Everything says SEC about Oregon.
You guys laying the big number with the Wolverines tomorrow night in Indy?
All the sharps are on Iowa. All the sharps. They are.
God bless them. I know. Where are the points coming from?
Well, it's not necessarily that, but Harbaugh won't run up the score against the dean of college football coaches'
parents. I guess we'll see.
But we're not.
Hour number 2 coming up next.